I'm Carol Hills, and for Marco Werman, and this is The World. Starting a new life, leaving poverty behind, finding a safer place. Those are some of the hopes that push migrants to leave their homes and risk their lives. On the other hand, some of the reasons why governments turn migrants away: closed borders, security concerns, a lack of money. Both sides of that equation have been playing out in the waters off the coast of Thailand. Last week, our friends at the BBC found a boat full of desperate Rohingya migrants from Myanmar floating aimlessly. But there are thousands like them stranded at sea because the governments of Thailand, Indonesia, and Malaysia all refused to let them land. Until today, when all three countries announced they would offer the migrants temporary shelter. My BBC colleague Jonathan Head is in southern Thailand. I asked him earlier if this was a significant change.
Well, it reverses what they were doing originally, which is very important for all these boats that we think are still out there. Up until now, all the countries in this region, Indonesia, Malaysia and Thailand, in effect operated what they called a pushback policy. If they found these boats, they would give them water and food, they would help fix their engines, but they pushed them out of their own territorial waters. And that left them in limbo because they really had nowhere else to go. As every country was pushing them back, they ended up just floating around. And in fact, the boat that we found last week had exactly that happen. Throughout the weekend, it was a kind of ping pong as it was pushed backwards and forwards across the Thai-Malaysian border, close to where I am now, without really knowing where to go. That policy is now shifted. And you have to remember they've been at sea for close to 3 months in really appallingly cramped boats. And they started journeys that were only supposed to take about 10 days. So the conditions on board are really almost impossible to describe and horribly unsanitary, brutally hot. People who have simply not had enough food and they look skeletally thin. Clearly, they do need to come to land to get medical treatment. And that's now open to them in all these countries.
Now, of course, the caveat to this new decision is that Indonesia and Malaysia and now Thailand will provide temporary shelter. But that's temporary. And they're asking the international community to step forward to provide permanent solutions. How likely is that to happen?
Well, the numbers involved in this immediate humanitarian crisis are not enormous. The number of people stranded at sea because of the change of policy in Thailand, that's why it's happened. The Thais have done what many people have urged them to do for a long time and started shutting down the human trafficking networks that have proliferated in recent years. And these people had left mostly from Myanmar, Burma, and quite a lot from Bangladesh too, hoping to be smuggled through Thailand. When the policy change happened, their brokers, their traffickers didn't want to land them, and that's why they've been floating around. So we're talking a maximum of maybe 9,000 people in total who would probably need to be assisted in this way. Those are not impossible numbers for these three countries to handle. And I would imagine it won't be enormously difficult to find some kind of long-term solution to them. The bigger problem is this outflow of people, particularly from Myanmar, Burma, in Rakhine State, where Rohingya Muslims are treated so appallingly, really as second-class citizens. That has been an annual problem now for many years. And these countries have quite rightly said, we need to get the Burmese government on board. But there's another side that the governments in Thailand, where I am, have to pick up on, and that is they've allowed this trade, this human trade, this business to boom in recent years. And it's hard to stress what a profitable business this is. You know, these trafficking rings are buying boatloads of people now, then holding them for ransom, even though they may already have paid for their passage, in these awful jungle camps in Thailand, often mistreating them and demanding ransoms of $2,000 to $3,000 per person. It's enormously profitable. It's dreadfully abusive. Until the governments here shut that down, of course, there's a strong reason why this flood of people every year would continue.
And so the brokers are mostly Thai brokers who are conducting this business.
It's been a big business in Thailand, and we are starting to see people being detained and prosecuted in Thailand. But there are huge networks of brokers operating inside Rakhine State, Rohingyas themselves, for example, and of course, very big brokers now operating in Bangladesh. And there's a lot of illegal business in Malaysia. You know, it's a massively profitable business, and that's one reason why we've seen such an awful trade continue. I mean, we've been following this story for a long time, long before these boat people appeared, going in and looking at these jungle camps, hearing from people who escaped from them and the terrible abuses that happen, particularly for people who can't pay the ransom. It's an awful business in which, frankly, the Thai government has colluded. We've got military and police officials who knew about it. Some of them were paid off and they simply turned a blind eye to it. There is a change of policy here in Thailand now, but I think people are still keeping their opinions open as to whether the government is really committed to shutting it down.
The BBC's Jonathan Head in southern Thailand.